Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Oh, wow. Thanks, MOTAT.
Indeed.
It's exciting. I still am buzzed out by the sting. It's great. Alrighty. First up, stealing research and getting millions for it. Millions of dollars, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a downer today's program. I'm sorry.
We'll get through it together, Alan.
We shall. Okay, so you need a little bit of context for this one, probably, rather than getting straight into it. So at universities, students do research under the mentorship of lecturers, professors, call them what you will. And very occasionally that research leads to patents, and it leads to commercialization, and it leads to money. And so the big question then becomes, okay, so who earns the money off any big discovery that essentially a student makes, because they're the ones that do the work at universities. It's not the bloody professors or anything. They sit there and
they
write up the papers.
Oversee.
They have some ideas. They tell the students to go off and do the stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So often the way that it works is that if you do end up making money out of something that you've discovered at university, then the discoverer might get maybe a third of it, and then the department might get a third of it, and the university might get a third of it. Some sort of agreement like that. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got an unfortunate situation in the States here at the University of Missouri, where the professor of pharmacy, he's been the professor of pharmacy there, the head of the department for about 25 odd years, and he's being sued by his own university for stealing a student's research, selling it on to a drug company, and getting paid at
$1.5 million
for it. And he may earn another $10 million or so off in the next 5 years.
What?
Yeah, that's not good.
There's nothing that can be done?
Well, who knows? Well, this is going to court, okay? Now, I use the word allegedly here.
Yes.
Because we preface everything with allegedly. So, as I say, he's being sued by the university. So what they say is that a student was working under him, basically, and the student came up with a new method of treating dry eye, okay? So eye drops and stuff like that.
Yes.
So he developed a new method of doing this, and it uses nanotechnology. It's got all the, you know, fancy right words and everything. He spent an awful long time on it. And then allegedly what then happened was that he was given no credit for it. It was patented by his boss, who was the head of the pharmacy school, who then, as I say, sold it to a company which was registered in the US Virgin Islands, which is never a good start, is it? You know, that doesn't scream legitimacy, does it? Who then on-sold it to an Indian company for about $40,000. $40 million. And the university didn't get a cut of this, and neither did the student. Okay. Now, when you are employed at a university, you sign along the dotted line and everything, and say that, you know, anything that you do invent is partially
of
the university's.
Of the university, basically.
Right. Exactly. And they're the people who are paying you to do the job.
Mm.
So he didn't tell the university about this, and they sort of found out about it on the day that he got $1 million put into his bank account. So, needless to say, he denies all of this. And says that he sort of developed this by himself and blah, 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 blah. Now, the student is rightfully annoyed about this. The university is very, very rightly annoyed about this. And the student's brought up some accusations also of the professor, who is, his name's Ashrim Mitra, and apparently treating his PhD students very, very badly and making them come around to his house and do menial tasks like cleaning up the floor and waiting tables at dinners and stuff like that. And of course,
nothing really to do with what their PhD is about.
No. And obviously, you know, these are foreign students, so they're living in the US, you know, with a visa, and that visa can be cancelled if they don't make satisfactory progress or anything. So they're in a really, you know, rock and a hard place situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so this is not nice. This is really not
pretty
good.
Pretty despicable.
Well, again, it's all alleged, but the guy has resigned. He resigned last month. He's contesting this in court. And
the other thing that comes up for me is the drug company's role in this. If how often does this happen, though, if they just kind of cut in and I mean, I suppose it's... Yeah, like if they can do that, does this mean that the university even owns that knowledge anymore?
The university does. I mean, that will be written
and
down somewhere.
And so that's what the court case will be about.
Yeah.
But this probably could happen more and more, don't you think?
Well, you would think that any sort of drug company with a modicum of sense would make sure that they're dealing with the university and not just the individual.
Right.
As I'm sure they would have done many, many times before. So you might have thought that this might have struck them as odd.
Mm.
But then again, you know, they are based in the US Virgin Islands, which I say, you know, doesn't scream legitimacy. So
okay.
A really, really sad situation. And saddest for this poor student
who
obviously has worked,
you
know, really, really hard on this. They've ended up getting nothing out of this. And
hopefully their name will come out, though, and then they'll be known as as the person that really did originally do that work.
So that's what the university want, is that the university want to be on the patent and they want the student to be on the patent as well.
Okay.
So we'll see how that one pans out. But knowing the US, that'll be a few years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. So. Miss practicing medicine and maybe a touch on misinformation. We had a couple of stories.
Misinformation or disinformation?
Oh, okay.
I think there's a difference.
Okay. Please explain.
Yeah, no.
This is your...
Oh, God. Okay, again, sorry to be a real downer with this one, but, I mean, this is the sort of stuff that really needs to be aired, and people need to know about this stuff because it's just appalling what people get away with in the name of, and you know, science. I'm doing the inverted commas bit here, everybody, you know, the air quotes. And this isn't even science. So the story was that there's this herbalist in LA, and again, that should give rise for concern. Not to say that herbs are bad things. You get very good medicines from natural products, okay?
That's
so
right.
I'm not against that at all, okay?
They have their place and they have their purpose, and there are many great uses.
Absolutely.
And that's very old knowledge as
well. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
I completely agree with that. However, this guy said, okay, well, let's see what happened to him first, okay? So he's been sentenced to 120 days jail, 48 months probation, a fine of $5,000, and restitution for, get this, funeral expenses. Okay, so that shows you where this one's going. So there was a 13-year-old kid in LA who was a type 1 diabetic. He was being treated with insulin, and his parents, or his mother, I think, went along to a talk by this herbalist guy, and this herbalist guy persuaded her to stop giving him insulin and to start treating him with herbs that this guy was selling.
Right.
Okay. And tragically, but, you know, it was always going to happen, the kid unfortunately died.
What?
And apparently on his last day, apparently he was begging his mother, please call 911, please call 911. This herbalist, he called these herbs God's insulin, apparently. And so he got, well, he's liable for the kid's death, but only 120 days jail and a $5,000 fine and funeral costs, you know.
What even cost do you put on? Yeah,
well, obviously the cost of a human life is $5,000. There you go.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Actually, what happened to that kid?
And to sort of go further on this sort of thing, because it's got a similar cause. So the number of measles cases in the US in total this year already exceed the measles cases in 2017.
Which seems odd when it's something that we've dealt with, and you would think...
We have dealt with it, you know, and it's called vaccination. And now, so far this year, 159 cases versus 120 in the whole of 2017, okay?
There's even been some here, hasn't there?
Yes, they have, yes. Yep. So where are all they coming from? It's all coming from this anti-vaccination nonsense. And I'm sure I'll get texts about this, but it is absolute nonsense. And we can prove that it's absolute nonsense because yesterday there was a study published where they studied all of the babies born in Denmark between the years 1999 and 2010, and they were looking for any possible link between the MMR vaccine and autism. There's none. There's bloody none. 650,000 children. Okay? And it just really makes my blood boil that, number one, we had to waste all of this bloody time to show this. You know, this is an awful lot of people who's going to be involved in this study, all because of that one crap paper by that disgraced Andrew Wakefield. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit, you know, thing here. But think of all of that time and resources which could have been so much better spent on something important. Okay? This is crap. Let's put it to bed. Let's forget it. All your anti-vaxxers out there, read the paper. This is real science. I know it won't convince you, sadly.
Well, let's go. I'm just going to...
Sorry,
I mean, no,
rant
I mean,
over.
Yeah, that's, it is, the Alan Blackman's Dear Science segment. So, but I just... I mean, we also, the issue too here, we go back to the boy with diabetes. So
yes.
this person that was selling his own... You know, like there's this issue of somebody actually making, you know... is personal benefit from selling something and also practicing without a license. So there's issues in all kind of all of these spaces that link towards that.
And
that, yes, disinformation, but also just growing this idea that, yeah.
Well, the major issue, it's one word, education. That's it. People need to be educated. Mm. We need to get all the shit off the internet, which is never going to happen, sadly. I don't know how to get around this this whole disinformation thing. I just have no idea, because wherever you look, it's everywhere. People are just saying, oh, you know, science is rubbish, science is real, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. And it's just not true. But people now have a platform for dissemination of this stuff, and it's way easier to do this than it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago, okay?
And a point that you make, right, that the measles cases are... have increased, right? That, I mean, that probably does show that there is a much larger platform for that kind of information to get out now, and for things to turn in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, just one example, there was a little disease called smallpox which ravaged the world until about the early 1970s, 1980s, okay? You know, and we got rid of that through vaccination. And polio... that ravaged New Zealand, for God's sake. What's, you know, June Opie, No Grass Between My Toes? That's her autobiography. And they used to put them in iron lungs. All these poor kids, they had to live in an iron lung because of polio. That's gone. You can vaccinate against polio. It doesn't bloody exist anymore. And you have these people going around in Pakistan particularly. I saw a documentary about this saying, don't vaccinate your children against polio. It's a Western plot and blah, blah, blah. Oh, nothing's too bad for those people.
Okay. All right, Alan. I think we might leave it there.
Yep.
And
I'll let you deal with the texts.
Well, we'll finish on a lighter note that you have a visiting scholar, I believe. We do. Named Fraser Stoddart.
Yes.
And he's speaking on the rise and promise of artificial molecular machines based on the mechanical bond. Now, I just thought that was an incredible title and I didn't want to know anything more about it by reading.
Okay.
I'm going to get you to explain what that is.
Okay, not only is a scholar, he is a Nobel laureate. Okay, so any of you people listening who want to listen to some real science, by one of the greats, because he won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 2016, he's speaking in the WG403 Lecture Theatre at AUT on Monday the 11th from 4 until 5. And he won the Nobel Prize, as you correctly said, for the rise of molecular machines, okay? And what he's been able to do is to, on the atomic and molecular scale, make components of materials which could be used as machines, okay? And this might sound rather simplistic, but one of his great things that he did was to make a series of compounds called rotaxanes. And rotaxanes are basically an axle, where you put, and you can thread a circular molecule onto this axle, and you can get it moving back and forward and back and forward along the axle.
Wow.
And so therefore you can do work, and therefore you've got the possibility of a machine. And this is on the molecular scale,
Whoa. Okay,
the tiny, tiny, tiny scale. And so he and a couple of others in 2016 got the Nobel Prize for doing this sort of stuff. Absolutely brilliant work. This is a very, very rare opportunity to hear a Nobel laureate in the flesh. So,
brilliant speaker. All right.
I would encourage everybody to come along.
Head over to AUT next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Pleasure, Lillian.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yes, you will. Yes.
Brilliant.
Okay. See ya.
Mind blown. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology. As for